Could we go to the 1974-5 season, Keith, mm-hmm. when you were captain,
mm-hmm.
and I think played in 43 of the 45 games.
Was that all?
Why did you miss two?
I don't know. It was rugby was a strange game in those days. How we ever did it, I'll never know. Captain, coach, selector, and you did it. Now, I had very good employers in Wycliffe College who, right from the start, gave me any time off that I wanted. Wherever I went, whatever, however long it took, they were happy with it and very supportive. And of course, you've got to have colleagues who support it as well, haven't you? You can't just have time away from work to play rugby. I think the school's attitude even then was, well, look, once you get Keith Richardson, Wycliffe College, that's not a bad advert. So they were getting something out of it. And I did my full stint as a coach at school and produced some decent sides. But no, it was a system that was destined to fail. Because once coaching came in, and the game became more than just do your own thing at training, you couldn't have a captain to coach at the same time. And that nearly killed me off that season. Because I knew a bit about coaching, not a lot, but I knew a bit and wanted to do a good job. So you ended up losing your own fitness. That's what happened to me. You lost your own fitness because, of course, you were trying to run things. So you were neither fish nor fowl. You weren't doing one job properly if you're doing the other. And I realised then the game can't go on like this. It's madness. And it still took quite a while before coaches actually got into the clubs themselves. It took a long time, yes. On the sort of international front, Australians, South Africans, New Zealanders, they'd had coaches for years. They were used to the concept of a coach being in charge. And the captain worked with him, but he just captained on the pitch. The coach did all the nasty bits and the preparation. And it does take a long time. So I was in the middle of a sort of emerging system.
What did you regard as your priorities as captain?
Priorities were, well, you had to lay down come to an agreement of how we'd play it. That was fairly simple at Gloucester because you had pretty entrenched strengths. But then you had to come in with, well, hang on a minute, we've got these people who are a bit better than, you know, than the old-fashioned on a yard, just that. So you had to have a game, and I tried to get a more fluid game based on a good strong pack, brilliant halfbacks, whoever they picked, they were always good, and an emerging Richard Moog. You would have played it a bit differently with John Bayliss, you'd use him in a different way, although somebody like that is always handy to have as a sort of cut the ball, show them what might happen, and then the occasional miss or whatever. But certainly when you had people like Richard Moog, you had to start playing a different game. Well, it'd be foolish not to.
Was it a problem following Mike Nichols as captain with the aura that he had? And he was still in the side.
Yeah, he was very much so. He was, no, he made it very easy. He was a very gracious man. I'll never forget when Bob Clues became captain, and he told Mike that he wanted me as coach. And Mike Nichols was just fine. That is what you want. And he congratulated me, and that was the end of it. That was the system. Mike Nichols was just a gentleman. He really was. So no, I felt under a bit of pressure because I couldn't do a Mike Nichols. I couldn't get players knocking lumps out of the wall. Because I might have to do it.
Yeah.
I'd probably get injured, but he didn't. But no, I had to do it in a different way. So my style was totally different from Mike Nichols. because you have to, you've got to accept, are you capable of doing something or not? Now, I'd have just, the rest would have died laughing if I'd got up to do a Mike Nichols type, we'll fight them on the beaches, because they all knew I'd run away before the rest. So it had to be different, yeah. But he was very helpful at all times. And what you could do, you could then transfer the game, or part of the game, onto Mike Nichols. So that's what we want. So instead of him doing it in the changing room, he'd just keep doing it on the pitch, and he'd give you a focus. All the time there'd be a focus. Gloucester have always been able to get players to get in front, and you could focus on where you're going. And
did you enjoy being captain?
Yes, oh yeah, very much so. I didn't enjoy the total package, and you've got to isolate. There are different things. I enjoyed being captain on the day. I didn't enjoy the fact that you're trying to squeeze a quart into a pint pot. If you're to do the job properly, you'll fail. You cannot do that job of captain, coach, selector. It was always going to be a failure in some area, because you're going to be spread thinly somewhere. And I never liked the idea of being late for training. I didn't like training. But if it's 7 o'clock, the captain has to be there at 10 to 7. And that never worked. So there was aspects that I knew I couldn't do for a second season. They had to start getting a coach. But that took some time.
So that was your reason for standing down?
That was the main reason. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
That I knew I was losing. I couldn't win the battle within myself more than anything. Yeah. Other people said, oh, that's fine. But no, I didn't like it at all.
And you handed over to Mike Burton.
I did.
Captain.
Yeah.
What was he like as a captain?
Mike was somebody who, you see, again, Gloucester have got these players with aura. So Mike was great. Mike, I think he was the one who got Ivor Oaks there, wasn't he? Or was that Nichols? I'm not sure, but Mike was a sort of captain who kept things simple. Very, very simple. And he would have fitted into a Gloucester team at any part of any era. That you knock 7 bales out of them up front, and then we start to play. So he was dead easy to play for and with. But you knew, being there, done that, which is a hell of an advantage, that he was England prop, you know. Yeah, follow you to hell, sir.
And I see you've played 48 matches during that season under Mike Burton. That seems a phenomenal number in this day and age.
Get you out of the house.
Well, it's a pretty big number even in those days.
But the frightening thing is, you didn't dare miss training on Monday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So you'd play these Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, and then you'd have 2 games on the Monday. Honestly, it was just like playing a game. I don't know how anybody did it, but lots of people must have done. Because if you're playing 500 games for Gloucester, you've got to have done that on a number of occasions.
Yeah. And then Mike Burton was followed by John Watkins as captain. Very different captain again.
I didn't play then.
Oh, was that?
Don't think I played. Did I?
Yes, I did. You played 28 games season under John Watkins.
Yeah. I thought I'd retired then.
No, that was your next to last season.
Oh, was it?
Well, in fact, your last season was under John as well, because he was captain for several years, wasn't he?
Again, John was easy. Because he was the sort of person you admired. And squeaky clean. He would never shirk anything. He'd take 20 stitches, but he wouldn't shirk what had to be done. Now, they're easy captains to play under. Now, I knew I wasn't that sort of captain, because I wasn't that sort of player. But people like John would do it. And he didn't have to say anything. He would just lead by physical example, bravery, at times foolhardy, but no regard for his own body. Absolutely no regard at all. And you can play behind that. Again, it's a focal point. I'll follow him. Dead easy.